Good morning. Welcome to the Gathering Place podcast. I am Pastor Todd. This week, Pastor Byron is preaching a message to edify the church. I hope you are edified as well. And now, Pastor Byron.
It's a wonderful thing to be. It's a wonderful thing to be woken up at 3:30 in the morning, when the Holy Spirit wants to talk to you what needs to be revealed to the church. And, you know, to go to bed and say, well, we got it done, we're ready to present, and then to say, there's more. And you're going to hear the more this morning. We're going to be looking at this morning at the activity of the Holy Spirit of God through the whole story. He is in that whole story of the birth of Jesus. In Isaiah 7:14, and Lord, anoint me, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you for waking me up at 3:30. I thank you for what you gave me. And Father God, may it have a place in our hearts in Jesus' name. In Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. It's all about God. It's all about him. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will be called and will call him Emmanuel. That was way before it happened. That was a promise that Israel was looking for, a Messiah. Then the story begins. Much of it recorded in Luke and in Matthew. But we're going to look at Luke 1, verse 26. On the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, to the town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And imagine the shock of that moment, that an angel of God appeared before her and declared to her her destiny. And we'll hear a little bit more about that a little later. But in verse 37, what's declared, "For no word from God will ever fail." And I want you to remember that as members of TGP. When you're hearing from God, and you're hearing from him, and you're hearing correctly, don't put aside what he said to you. Because when God comes to speak to us, it's not like a maybe. I'm declaring that over your life. So the word, no word from God ever spoken will ever fail. That's why it's important for us as a church to know the word of God, know the promises of God, and also declare over our lives that those promises are a yes and a amen. They are a yes and an amen. It's done. Then in verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word in me be fulfilled." And the angel left her. Are we that kind of people? Are we that kind of people where we'll give a yes and amen when God is declaring to us our destiny, our future, how he's going to use us and use us together and use us as individuals and bring us gifts and power and all his presence? And can we be like Mary and say yes and amen to that? I believe that. And then go on with the destiny God has placed in our lives. It says next in verse 38, "At that time," Mary heard heard the angel declare to her. At that time, Mary got up, hurried to the town hill in the country of Judah, where she entered Zacharias' home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary greetings, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so honored and favored that the mother of our Lord should come to me? And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in me, in my womb, leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." Again, affirming to you and I, when God speaks to us, that God has every intention to fulfill it. Every intention to fulfill it. Now remember, Mary just got the announcement. Mary, at that announcement, became pregnant with the Son of God. Now, you women know that you don't feel much different when you're impregnated. You don't see any manifestation of that for some time. It says that Mary getting the announcement and saying, "I believe it and I receive it," immediately, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, went to Zacharias' home where affirmation came. I'm sure, as a human being, she was, "What is going on? What did I just hear?" And there's this place in our life, in our walk, in our journey, when doubt can come, right? Doubt can come. And we need to chase that away and say, "No, God, this is my assignment. This is who you called me to be. This is what I be. And you will empower me to walk through that journey." Because Mary is probably kind of thinking in her mind, "Wow, you know, how am I going to explain this to the family? How am I going to explain this to Joseph?" I mean, imagine all the thought processes that were going through her mind, but yet the Holy Spirit said immediately, or very quickly, she went to Zacharias' home and received confirmation. Without any knowledge of her telling Elizabeth, Elizabeth told her, "Blessed are you, because you carry the Son of God." That must have been a real encouragement to them. You know, the church and we need to rise up and be encouragers to one another, to lift each other up, to encourage us on the journey. Because the more we receive encouragement, that kind of dissipates doubt, doesn't it? And then Mary, it says in verse 56, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Now, the scriptures don't say that, but it could very well be that she stayed there all the way until John was born. And Maya always told me, "All babies look like me." I wonder if John looked like that, like me too. I don't know, but it's yeah, that's the story. I was in one of our grandchildren gave birth, and I went in there, and who's in that room? And she looks at me. And I say, "Wow, that baby! It looks so old. Looks like Byron. All babies look like you. So round face." So anyway, but anyhow, so she was there. Possibly she was there until the birth of John. And then she had a journey back home. But she journeyed back home encouraged. Encouraged to meet what possibly could be some very difficult times. Are you facing difficult times? Allow God's Spirit to encourage you. that the God that's within you will meet every and any challenge you're facing. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. After spending some time at home, and you can look at the scriptures yourself, all of a sudden Joseph defended Mary, even though he now had the knowledge that she was pregnant. And he was probably wondering how in the world she got pregnant. And she, you know, the scripture doesn't talk about, she may have had, well, Joseph, an angel called. Sure, an angel came. But you know what? I'm convinced I just want to protect your honor. I want to protect you. And because customarily, possibly people would be stoned for getting pregnant before marriage. So he decided to protect her. But then he had a dream, and God visited him in a dream and said, don't disregard her. Take her as your wife. And declared to him that the baby she was carrying was the Son of the Living God. Then all of a sudden, by an act of God working through government, you know, and no matter what happens in our government, remember, God is the one we're learning in Scripture. He moves leaders any way he wants for his ultimate goal and purpose. Well, the government all of a sudden said, I just want to take a census of all Jews living in that region. Now, it just happened to be that Joseph's hometown was Bethlehem. So he had to pack up Mary, fully pregnant, and make his journey to Bethlehem. All in mind, God is working in all of this, even in the minds of kings, to make sure the prophetic word would be fully accomplished, because Bethlehem will be the birthplace of the Messiah. So they packed up and went. And it was like a just-on-time experience. Because when they entered the streets of Jerusalem, of Bethlehem, Mary said, it's time, Joseph. And he was running around for a place to find. And he finally, they said, the only place they got is this little stable with some animals in it. Might be a little dirty, but I'll let you stay there. And they went there, and in Luke 2, it talks about that. And they found a place, and in verse 7, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes, placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And the baby was born. I cannot imagine Mary's eyes meeting the eyes of Jesus. Knowing full well of her experience with an angel's announcement. Knowing full well, prophetically, Elizabeth affirmed her in what was happening. And now it happened. Now, coming up in Luke is really, you know, sometimes we'll focus on the Magi, and that's more focused in Matthew. Sometimes we'll focus on that. We'll focus on that. But I don't think many of us think about what the first gift that came to the baby. The first gift. It wasn't gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Here's the scriptures. And there was shepherds living in a field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. You know, that's a calling card for us going into the future. Do not be afraid. And it says, I bring you good news that will cause great joy to all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior was born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest of heaven, and on earth peace, and to all those whom his favor rests." So then they hurried. I mean, they just saw a miraculous event. Not only an angel's announcement, but many angels showing up, singing and worshiping. And then they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning that he had what they had been told them, what had been told to them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they were told. The first gift that came to baby Jesus was worship. It wasn't gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It was worship. It was worship. It was glorifying God. It was saying, "Now it's peace on earth, goodwill to men." They have seen what the angel had proclaimed to them. And they left that manger site worshiping and glorifying and praising God. Hey, they were the first missionaries, were just shepherds in a field, declaring all that they had heard and what they've seen. There was the wise men. They came later. They came with gifts also. They came with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Prophetically speaking, we have to acknowledge those gifts operating in us because the Messiah, Jesus, lives within us. And I want to show for any challenge that we might have in life, they may be centered around some of these things. I want to let you know, the gold, they had provision. They did not know at that time that all of a sudden the military leadership in that country was going out to kill every child under a certain age. Yet the Holy Spirit came to them after they had got this provision. The Holy Spirit came to them and said, "Go to Egypt. Go to Egypt." And you know what? We could say in our own life, God will give us, say, "Go here, do this, do that." And then will that come up in our mind, "I don't have the provision"? Yes, you do. You do have the provision. All our needs are met according to his riches and glory. Whatever God has called us to do, provision will be there. Yeah. And we need to learn that. Just even from this narrative of the birth of Jesus, provision is there. Provision is there. Where do they go? Where did the Holy Spirit lead them? To fulfill prophecy, for sure, but it was Egypt. What was Egypt about? Egypt was about a man named Joseph that thought he was going nowhere, from slavery to prison to princeship. That's where he sent Joseph and Mary with the child. What else happened in Egypt while they stayed in Egypt? It was a remembrance of a man called Moses, a great leader, a man full of humility that led a whole nation out of bondage into freedom. So that's what they could think about, that narrative, while they spent their time in Egypt. And until they got the calling to come back, go back to Jerusalem, go back to Bethlehem, go back to Nazareth, because that's where he grew up in, because he was called a Nazarene, even though he was born in Bethlehem. And then verse 40 is very interesting. Very interesting. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. You see, as Jesus grew up as a child to a teenager to a young 20-year-old till he became 30, because we don't have any record of that, except that we know what he grew up to. We saw a little episode when he was 12 years old, and yet we don't have any information. But be assured that he knew his destiny. And when you say the child grew and became strong and filled with wisdom, he was growing up fully knowing and defining who he was going to be and what he was going to do. You know, we love the miracles. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He gave sight to the blind. He was just making a declaration of who he is. But his purpose was to be a sacrifice. A sacrifice. His death meant life to you and me. His death meant a conquering spirit within us. His death meant a victorious lifestyle. Then the dream. 3:30 in the morning. I was going to go on with this message, and the Holy Spirit woke me up. You and I have no clue of what the weeks and months to come are going to be. But here is what the Holy Spirit said. As we understand the birth in Jesus and the power given us, what's the future? What's tomorrow going to look like? What's next week going to look like? What's 2021 going to look like? He gave me these scriptures as I sat before his throne of grace and say, why did you wake me up? What do you have? What does our church need to hear? It comes from 2 Timothy 3:1-5. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. Going forward to 2021, we need to recognize that there will be a battle for our very lives. And God is saying, dispel that and hold on to me. And hold on to me. Because nothing that's going to happen is going to surprise our God. Now with that, I said, well, that's thank you. And I'll share that with our church. But then he says, that's not the whole story. That's not the whole story. Encourage my people. Encourage my people. Then he brought me to Acts 2:17-18. In the last days, God said there's going to be terrible times. But God also said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And then in Joel 2, 13 to 14, rend your heart and not your garment. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. He relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offering, drink offering for the Lord your God. So, difficult times, wonderful prophetic word. We have the challenge to live for him in a greater, passionate way going into 2021. That's the insert. Now, the Holy Spirit, the days before putting this message together, he shared with me how to end this message for you and I. How to end it. What should be the ending to this great message? Messiah came. Messiah sacrificed his life that we might have life. And then this little insert. Terrible times are coming. Be of good cheer. There's going to be great revival. Yes. A great move of God. Mm-hmm. So, in saying that, there's a little definition in Luke, and they call it, they define it Mary's song. It starts out with Mary said, I would like what this little teenage girl declared when she found out her destiny will be our destiny, will be my destiny, will be your destiny. Because in that prophetic word and declaration, we could see what was going in the heart of Mary, which also should be alive and working within our spirit. What was that? It starts out, my soul glorifies the Lord. Going forward into a new year, may our heart be filled with the glory of God, and that we, as men and women, as we walk through life, glorify our God. My soul, the innermost part of Mary, the innermost part of you and me, ought to be involved with glorifying God in our life. Then he says, may my spirit rejoice in God my Savior. Father, may God fill our lives rejoicing in the great salvation you and I have received when we gave our life to Jesus. Christmas is a joyous time, but you know what? That joy ought to be following us day by day by day by day. You know, I'm sure Mary was full in her mind with challenges ahead, yet joy filled her heart. May the Spirit rejoice in God my Savior. Then slipping down to verse 49, for the Mighty One. Who's your God? Is he weak? Is he unable to deliver you? No, within your heart, have it ringing out to the heavens. You are the Mighty God. There is no challenge I could ever be faced with that you are not greater still. You, in Mary's heart, it should be in our hearts, that declaration. We serve, we live, and we walk with a mighty God. A mighty God. Then in verse 50, his mercy extends to those who fear him. Remember his mercy. Remember his mercy. When you think you've failed, know that you are walking with a merciful God that will, because of your relationship with Jesus and the blood of Jesus Christ, has cleansed you and washed you from all unrighteousness. Mary was absorbing in her life as she was carrying this baby. I want to recognize and lift up and acknowledge God's mercy over me and my life, because my God is a merciful God. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. How, you know, kind of with the mighty one, he will perform mighty deeds in your life. Your son has no problem with one word from God, I is healed. That's all it is. That's all it is. So he's saying, and we're going to experience that in 2021, experiencing the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit in this place. In place, we're going to experience the performance of the mighty deeds with his arm and his mighty hand. Then in verse 52, lifted up the humble. I gave a whole message about that a number of weeks ago. He lifts up the humble. And he humbled does not mean weak. Humble means bold in acknowledging the God that's within you. You know, it's humility is Moses going before a Pharaoh and saying, "Let my people go." In his mind, he could say, "That is full of arrogance. Get out of my throne room." But that was true humility in knowing his God. You know, Mary could understand when she said, he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. And she was facing a lot of bad stuff. She was in an environment of a government that was not friendly towards the Jewish people, that thought nothing of killing babies, thought nothing of killing men and women. They were brutal. And Mary was in that environment knowing that who she knew, who she humbly walked with, would break down even the rulers of her time. Yeah. True humility can be look like pride, but if it's true humility, it's boldness in the name of Jesus. That's right. Then in 53 he says, filled the hungry with good things. Mary knew as she was going this process of giving birth to the Messiah that all her needs were met according to his riches and glory. She said, you are the one that fills the hungry. You know what? Not only for just sustenance, but also, you know what? Keep my heart and your heart hungry for him. Yeah. Keep your heart hungry for him. Keep that place that, you know, I can't live another day without him. I need him. And the only thing that fills that hunger is, and what does the Holy Spirit work? What does he use to work? What's the tool the Holy Spirit uses? The Word of God. The Word of God. You know what? To not know what God has promised you, you are living on a starvation diet. Hunger. Keep hunger for who he is. Keep yourself hungry to hear what God has to say. Keep yourself hungry to just open up that book and read what he has to say to you. He, verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel remembering to be merciful. You know, and that's an interesting thing. Help. You know, Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Helper. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the way He helps us, empowers us, one of the most powerful ways is actually affirming God's mercy over you. How many times do you hear Christians say, "Oh man, I'm not worthy"? That doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. And that's a false sense of humility. God is merciful to you and me. He's eager to fill you. He's eager to do life with you. He's eager to provide for you. He's either eager to help you. He's eager to take the Word of God and make it alive to you. And He's full of mercy. And He's full of mercy. Then finally, to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He promised our ancestors. Our God is not a God that He would ever lie to you. Every word He's ever spoken over you prophetically, or as we define who we are from the Scriptures, that His promises are true, yes, and amen.
That's right.
So, I want to encourage all of us. Here's a teenage girl in an unknown journey. And that's her description. That's her definition of who her God is.
Yeah.
May it be our definition of who our God is.
Amen. That's right.
Father, may these words spoken have a place in our hearts. Father God, by Your Holy Spirit, remind us daily of who we are, that we have received mercy from God, and the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Father God, remind us as people of God that know Jesus, that we have never been disqualified whom He has qualified. Father God, I thank You, Lord, that His mercies endure forever and ever and ever. And even in a greater level, when Jesus fulfilled His destiny and became the perfect Lamb of God and took away our sins and made us righteous before a righteous God. That we, as a people, knowing these things, can approach the throne of grace with confidence. With confidence.
Yeah.
With confidence. And Father God, that no anything that will happen today, tomorrow, next month, next year, would ever take away our faith in who You are over our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, man. Can't wait to hear some more worship. In Jesus' name.
This is Pastor Todd. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. I pray the Lord uses today's message by Pastor Byron to strengthen your walk with God. If you were blessed by this message and would like to support the ministry of The Gathering Place financially, I encourage you to use our online giving portal at tgpchicago.org. Our portal uses PayPal's secure site, so none of your information is compromised. Once again, thank you for tuning in to The Gathering Place podcast. God bless you, and have a great week.